Hey there, it's Weed Week, the dangers and health benefits explored on Mix 94.5, where we're having these incredible chats to learn a little bit more about medicinal cannabis. Check it out via the listener app.
Enjoy this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for elite pool covers, saving you water today for tomorrow.
It's Weed Week, the dangers and health benefits explored on Mix 94.5. We're having these incredible chats to learn a little bit more about medicinal cannabis and cannabinoids and all the other things we've unearthed throughout this entire thing. We've spoken to a lot of doctors, and now Jessica joins us from Busselton. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we understand you're a mother whose son uses medicinal marijuana due to his epilepsy.
Yeah.
Jess, tell us a little bit about your journey with your son so far. How long had he been suffering from epilepsy?
From the age of 2, he got diagnosed with epilepsy, but he'd had a couple of seizures. And then we tried all the pharmaceuticals for about 4 years with no relief of his seizures. And so it was about when he was 6, 4 years ago, we decided to try CBD oil, and from one day he had over 100 seizures to zero the next.
Wow.
One day?
Yeah, it was less than 24 hours.
So was that your 4 years leading up to that point of him having seizures daily, sometimes 100 a day?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's really
tough. Up to 150, yeah, anywhere from 30 to 150 a day he would have.
You know, when a child has a seizure like that, like, what is happening? How long does that go for, and what is he going through?
He's got a lot of different types. So some of them he'll just blank out or drool. But, I mean, his big grand mal seizures he was having, they would last 40 minutes.
Oh, geez.
And he was turning blue, resus and, intubated. Geez. Pretty heavy.
Was it a suggestion from someone that you try medicinal marijuana? Was it something that you had wanted to do for quite some time?
Like, yeah, actually a few years of research. We'd watched Charlotte Figge's documentary in, I think, Canada or America, and she was using the CBD oil, and then it's a few years of umming and ahhing, and then it just happened.
Tell us about that first day when you're obviously expecting seizures, you're waiting for them to come.
Incredible. And you're talking about a 6-year-old with behavioural problems who was completely nonverbal. The first day he had zero seizures, and the next day, so day 2, he said his first ever sentence.
Oh, my God.
And now his vocab is like a normal, not normal, but very close to a typical 10-year-old boy.
What was the sentence, Jessica?
He actually said, "I love speech," because I said, "We're going to speech one day." And he said, "I love speech." Yeah, and then to learning he loves Star Wars and his favourite colour was red. And then a few days later he said, "I love you," which was...
Oh, wow.
How does it work? Do you know why this has been so incredibly effective for your son?
Well, I don't know. I've done a lot of research, and I'm just feeling that he had all the words there, but those pathways were blocked. Maybe because of the seizures, and I feel like just with the cannabinoid system, it's just opened up all those pathways. The words were obviously there, but he could just never articulate.
I mean, incredible. What a result. And what's been the reaction of, you know, more traditional, your normal doctor, for example, or his specialist?
His specialist was really not 100% on board, but sort of didn't really give us very much in that, I suppose, because it isn't traditional. Just sort of wrote down it was due to alternative methods rather than documenting what it actually was.
Really? I mean, there was no, you know, I mean, that's,
well,
you're telling
going...
us the story, and it's so incredible to hear that change in 24 hours. You didn't find that they were as sort of excited or happy for you?
No, definitely not. I mean, his other doctor, Maddie Moore, has been incredible and very on our side, and it's been so amazing to meet a doctor that sort of advocates for us.
We've spoken to Dr. Maddie Moore. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, where I feel like, you know, we just got lost in the system. Alan has so many different things wrong with him. There's so many different specialists that we just sort of lost him. So.
And just moving forward now, how long has he been on it, and is he still not having any episodes every day?
So he's been on it for 4 years now. We're still not on the exact oil prescribed for him because of his age, which is frustrating. So, I mean, it's still beneficial, but not as beneficial as the 20-1, which is what we really need to get him on. But we just need a letter from a specialist to sort of give us that go ahead, which has been really frustrating.
Mm.
What's the reason why specialists haven't been able to give you that letter?
I'm not actually sure. Accessibility, I think. And yeah, it's just very frustrating.
Mm.
And Jess, what's your opinion? Like when you might be confronted with people who don't see the benefit of this, and I guess, you know, with any condition, it's hard to ignore a parent when they know their child and they see such an incredible difference. You know, how do you deal with that situation when you don't get that support?
It's very frustrating. Mm. But as soon as people hear our story, people are on board, which is amazing. Like, you just have to talk to Alan or know him 4 years ago and he's a completely different child.
That's why I find the reaction of the sort of traditional medical, you know, teams quite surprising, that it's almost as if they are angry that they weren't the ones that came up with the answer.
Exactly, yeah, definitely. And when you have a child that's gone through all those pharmaceuticals, we've been on 30 plus different medications, all with their own side effects, you know, and to have this natural plant that has such stigma around it, that has no side effects, and who has helped us in so many ways, it's just so frustrating that they still push that. Like, even after he was on CBD oil, they were still pushing pharmaceuticals, prescribing him new ones, whereas he's not on any anti-epilepsy meds except for CBD.
That's so disappointing too, because I guess, you know, disheartening for other families out there who, if that's how it's being documented, if someone's saying it's just an alternative route that you've taken, then we're not getting that scientific backup that we need to get this across the line.
Exactly. And there's still a lot of people who do call it a gateway drug or who do, you know, politicians, and which is very frustrating.
It's an extraordinary story, Jess, and we thank you very much for being so open and sharing your story as well. Can you pass on your best, our best, to your son, Alan?
I will do. Thank you.
He got his break in stand-up comedy right here in Perth, and these days hangs out in our lounge rooms on shows like The Masked Singer and Hughesy, We Have a Problem.
I am pumped up.
He's also part of the Mix 94.5 family, on air each weekday from 6 p.m. Please welcome Dave Hughes.
Morning, Hughesy.
Happy Christmas, guys. I know we're going early, but we have to. In my household, Christmas has come. You know how I know?
How?
We've done the Santa photo. That happened yesterday at a shopping centre. So 3 kids hanging out with Santa. So you get in line and you wait your turn and you get the photo with Santa. So,
Hughesy, can I ask, did you pick a specific Santa? I know that with the days of Instagram now, everybody, they like to get the best look. Or do you just go to your local? Who cares?
We go to the local. It's potluck, and our Santa, he was a nice guy, but it's different. It's COVID safe Santa photos at the moment. So
we did that last year. Where you weren't allowed to sit on Santa's knee. And you had and it all looked very awkward, actually.
Yes, it's really awkward. Yeah. And the photos don't scream Merry Christmas. They scream, what has Santa done and why aren't the kids allowed near him? You know, that's what they... and on this side of the country, Santa's got to wear a mask. It's like you're having a photo with Hannibal Lecter Santa. So,
you'll look back and it'll be memories, right? Memories.
My son said, he's 12, he said, this is the last one, Dad, I'm not doing it again. So apparently the last Santa photo he wants to be involved with. And you know what annoys me, though? The disrespect my children give me. At one point we're lining up and I'm sitting a little bit away from the Santa queue, just on my phone. And another kid, not our brood, but another kid spotted me, recognised me and came over looking for a photo with me. And And this kid basically chose me over. Well, he still was going to get the Santa photo, but he chose a photo with Hughesy. And I looked up and my 8-year-old was just shaking her head.
Yes.
At what sort of loser kid would want a photo with you, Dad?
Now, where's that old semi-retired bloke? I want to get a photo with him.
Exactly. It's like, I looked at it like, yes, your dad is a big deal. This kid is cut out of the Santa line to get a photo with me. So,
still
not impressed.
Current.
It's all not good. Impressed. So, just disappointing. But anyway.
Hughesy, good to catch up with you, mate.
All right, legend.
See you, man.
Have a good week, brother. Now.
Just kidding.
Just get on with it, was what Matt just whispered under his breath.
I have been pitching this as a phoner, as in throw a question out there, see if we can get some calls on it. For what do you reckon? 6 months?
Yeah.
Six months. And the question is, where's the odd place you've seen a cow? Now, it's been a little bit upsetting and a little bit frustrating at just the severe lack of faith that we're going to get calls on this, but that's okay. I've pushed through it.
Okay.
Can I just say from the outset, though, it's not a lack of faith in your ability.
Yeah.
It's that as soon as you go, what's the unusual place you've seen a cow? I'm like, nah, I haven't got anything.
Can't
Matt, you got anything?
One, no.
Nah. Hey, Jeans Joggers, you got anything? No one's got anything. And that makes us think no one's got anything.
Paddock.
Paddock.
That's not an unusual place.
Can I ask you a
question?
That's
not an unusual place. What?
What was the story that started this journey for you?
Well, here's the thing, right? So 6 odd months ago, I heard this story from a reporter in Wisconsin.
Move it along. Yes, that's a cow in the back seat of a Buick going through a McDonald's drive-thru in Wisconsin.
Now, okay. Unusual place.
Sure.
Right? And sure, that was just the one time.
Because it's just the one time, they used essentially horse click-clack in the background. That was not cow noises at all. It was...
I know, but you know what?
Bit weird.
It's okay, right? Yep. I pitched it then, 6 months when that came out, is that nobody went for it.
No.
Mm-hmm. And then last night, it was around about 5 to 7, I was watching Nine News. Guess what? We got another one.
A cow has made a splash in Brazil riding a slippery dip at a local water park after making its escape from a ranch. The bovine was unsteady at first, but eventually hoofed it into the water. Oh, it has now been adopted as a family pet and named Tobaga, which means slide in Portuguese.
Now, last night, when this story happened, Liz was in the kitchen while I was watching it. I went, Liz, it's happened again. I'm going to pitch it again. And there it is. So that's two, okay? Two unusual places people have seen a cow.
All year. Yeah? All year. You've only managed to get two stories.
It's two more
than
none.
And you think that right now the phones are going to be inundated with people going, I've got a place I saw a cow that isn't usual.
Yes.
It is two more than none.
I mean, we've all done a lovely trip down south and there's been a beautiful moo cow standing at the fence giving that wonderful quizzical look that they give. That's not really what we want from our calls this morning.
No, what we need, I need something grand for this.
More Tobagas.
Is where is the unusual place you've seen a cow?
Cows, it's your time to shine.
Wow, cow.
And you said that if this doesn't work, you're going to make me a chicken out of a tea towel as part of a magic trick.
Yeah.
And the producers have such lack of faith in you right now that they've already bought the tea towel in.
They have.
There's a tea towel right there. There's a tea towel. Now, listen. There are four. There's four people.
And the first call says it's not even a cow.
The first one says it wasn't a cow, Pete.
Okay. Ray, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Great.
What's your story about the unusual place you saw a cow, Ray?
Well, it wasn't actually a cow. I was down the Mannington Metro the other day grabbing some shopping and parked my ute up, went to walk in, and just out by the front door, there was this lady there with three shopping carts, two full of groceries and one with a fully grown sheep in it.
Oh, that's pretty good.
She was there when I walked in, done my shopping, and still there when I came out.
So this sheep was alive and it was just sitting there in the truck. Did you at least ask her about it? It's an unusual thing to see.
Well, put it this way. Heaps of people were asking her about it, like, and saying hello and everything else. But, I just walked past and sort of went, yep, okay.
Sheep in a trolley.
A sheep in a bag.
Sheep in a trolley.
I mean, it's a cute story, but Pete, it's not a cow.
I know it's not a cow, but have faith. There's still three other callers. Hello, Charlene in Brentwood. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Going well.
Great. Charlene, where have you seen the cow?
I used to live in Hong Kong and there was a town called Sai Kung and the cows would just roam the streets. And the first time we saw it was quite hilarious because we saw these cows just parked up in the bus stop. And we then went and had a coffee at Starbucks and this cow just comes waltzing past us and looks at our coffee. And it's the whole town. They just roam the street.
There you go.
At the bus stop was the most unusual I've ever seen.
Yes.
A couple of cows sitting waiting for a bus.
Just tapping on. Cute.
And they're so peaceful. I'd love they're to have cows peaceful. Just walking slowly yeah. through the street.
I mean, not, you know, the most unusual place, like, because if they're roaming around
yes,
sort of
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, you
I
know,
mean,
it's,
you know, seeing them in your coffee shop, that's pretty yeah. unusual.
But hey, hey, it's a cow.
You're Let's right.
Take what we can at
you're
the
right,
moment.
Mate,
we are
you're
getting
right.
closer. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, yeah. all right. Albert in Kinross, have you got an unusual place you've seen a cow?
Yeah, I was driving to school one morning, dropping off my kid, and in the middle of the road, at a traffic light, lo and behold, in the middle of the road, a cow.
A cow at the intersection.
No, no, you got to get it. I'm from South Africa, so that didn't happen again.
Right, okay.
And what kind of landscape are we talking here, Albert? I mean, are they? Was it a city intersection, or was this kind of
yes.
like, oh.
No. In the middle of the city.
Okay, I'll take that.
Well, that's close.
And Albert, do you know how long it took for that cow to be turned into some boarwurst?
Yeah, I think pretty quick.
Thank you, Albert. Okay.
You like that reference, yeah. though.
That's not too bad. I think, like, we're climbing, aren't we? We've had not so unusual, a bit unusual, middle of a city middle at an intersection.
Yeah.
That's quite unusual.
Pretty good.
Kim in Cloverdale, bring it home strong for us. Have you seen a cow in an unusual place?
Unfortunately not, but I have a great cow joke.
Okay.
Oh, well, we'll take your cow joke.
Okay, two cows in a field. One says to the other cow, moo. And the other cow goes, hey, I was just going to say that.
Well, that's utterly ridiculous, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
You know what's important is that Kim backed you in, Pete.
She did.
She went, you know what? Pete's going to be left high and dry here, and I don't want that to happen. So she's called with a cow joke. Right.
Now, how are we all feeling?
I
after
feel
that?
A great sense of relief knowing that that's the last time we need to speak of it.
Oh, yeah. It's never coming back. You're done.
He's the Aussie comedian, TV presenter, and writer behind film classics including The Castle and The Dish, and TV shows like Frontline and Utopia. And tonight, he hosts the season finale of Have You Been Paying Attention on 10. Please welcome Tom Gleisner.
Yeah, the finale, 8:40, only on 10, and then you can get it on 10 Play on Demand. Good morning, Tom.
Hello, Pete, Matt and Kimber. Nice to be back with you.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. It's a bit like the last day of school, so, you know, I've cleaned my locker out and now I'm just sitting around watching videos.
Oh, are we about to trash the place?
No, it's Channel 10, please.
Now, actually, before we get to just, you're going to put us through our paces this morning, but can I just ask one thing, because this is the first time that I've seen this, and that your middle name is Edmund. Where'd Edmund come from?
Hey, it was a grandfather, but it makes me sound like about 107 years old. Doesn't suit me, I don't reckon.
Oh, I mean, I love it. I mean, more than anything, it just seems like your parents wanted you to be an explorer or something, like Thomas Edmund Gleisner, and then you've just let them down.
It's someone who died of, you know, dehydration in the middle of a desert. No, it doesn't feel that's me, weirdly enough.
Now, Tom, can you put us through our paces this morning and find out whether or not we've been paying attention?
Absolutely. Normally, of course, we look back at the week, but on tonight's show, we're looking back at the entire year. Okay. So let's do a little bit of a tasting plate with you this morning. You're feeling a bit cruisy. Your names shall be your buzzers.
Okay.
Prince Philip passed away in April. What was the official cause of death?
Matthew Joseph Dzinski.
Thank you.
Acute racism.
Well, that was a side effect. No, in fact, it was old age. That was what they put on the report. Who knew?
I mean, it's a good way to cover all your bases,
exactly.
isn't it?
It's just impossible. It is probably medical speak for we don't know. But all right, we'll go with that.
Okay.
What was the most watched show on Netflix this year?
Kimber.
Yes, indeed.
Kimber. Squid Game.
Oh, did you watch it?
Yes.
Yeah, we can't not allowed to say anything else because we'll get accused of spoiling. So,
was that correct? That.
Was it?
It was absolutely correct.
Well, green light.
Okay,
red
so
light.
What about Red Notice, which has had the biggest premiere, and we've still got around about 6 weeks before the end of the year?
Minus 10 points for being a smartass.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. All right. I'll see myself out, Tom.
Please. No, stay, because we need the contestants. Big Brother VIP featured two international housemates.
Oh, we know
Thomas
those.
Thomas Markle and...
Oh, Matt Dzinski.
Yes.
Oh, God, if only, Tom. I've got my agent working on it, but nothing so far. It was... I've gone blank. Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner, indeed. Oh, yes. Jesus. This is the board is looking pretty tied up. All right, we'll start with TV. This year's Bachelorette made history by featuring Brooke as the first ever what?
Kimber. First Indigenous, first bisexual.
Oh, double points because you got them
boom.
Both.
Boom, boom, boom.
Wow, all right. Well, this is let's call this the tiebreaker, shall we? Okay. This is for the most attentive member of the mixed team. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian was forced to resign after admitting to a relationship with who?
Oh, I can't remember. He's yesterday's news now, isn't he?
It's the other side of the country, but who was it?
Some sort of backbencher.
Yeah, it was for Dubbo, or someone.
That's his Dubbo. How dare you? It's Wagga. It was the eligible bachelor himself, Daryl Maguire.
Daryl Maguire.
Daryl. It doesn't that sound like today, that sounds like a backbencher. I think Kimber might have.
I do too, Tom.
Unbelievable.
Well done, Kimber.
We're all shocked and horrified. I was paying any attention at all.
Absolutely.
I'll take that.
Good skills. You get a year's supply of ivermectin. Well done.
It doesn't work. The season finale. Have you been paying attention tonight? 8:40 on 10. Great to catch up with you, Tom. Thank you very much. We'll chat to you soon.
Great to talk. Thank you.
Hey, I got back to Perth in 2016 after leaving in 1989. I mean, I'd been back in you know, to do a few gigs, but not to live. And it wasn't until I came back to live that I re-established my love affair with the great southern region.
Mm.
You know, we're talking Albany, the Porongerups, Denmark, Walpole, that beautiful part of the world. And it's gorgeous. And so we holiday there even before lockdowns. We've you know, rediscovered that area.
Captain Paul keeps making them come down.
Well, yes, to those who, of course, love Captain Paul, he's in Denmark and we see him all the time. Now, but with all that rugged beauty, the rainforest meeting the great southern ocean, you get a lot of snakes.
Don't bother the snakes. Leave all the snakes alone. Yeah.
Oh, baby. We're talking a lot.
It's whacking day.
Tiger snakes, dugongs, a lot of tiger snakes.
Mm.
Now, that's great, and they are protected, as they should be. But I also have a Dalmatian called Florence who goes into everything in this life face first. So I had to make the decision, and it wasn't that hard really, because we are very worried, and we've talked to a lot of people down there who have either lost their dog or had to pay huge amounts of money to try and save the dog. Kimber, I know you lost a dog to a snake.
Oh, yeah. And they're right, the cost of trying to save the dog. I remember it being like $700 for the anti-venom.
Yes.
And he needed 2 vials.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, we bit the bullet, and rather than getting bit by the snake, and on yesterday I did snake avoidance training. Now,
cool.
This is sort of my parental guidance moment, you know, that show, because they do use what we would call corporal punishment, I guess, in children, you know, in human terms. It's one of those e-collars that does give them a bit of a zap,
okay, right,
which is hard to watch.
Of course, but you are, of course, trying to stop her being killed by a snake.
That's what I'm trying to. Sometimes there's a priority there that's, you know.
And were you tiger parents? Like, were you kind of like, if she got it wrong, were you disappointed? What was the deal?
I didn't have a lot of time to do that because the correction, as they call it, what a euphemism that is, worked very quickly. And so it was very interesting, actually. So they're using live snakes.
Really?
Yeah, live snakes. So the first was a non-venomous that was out in the open. And, of course, Florence was like, straight, what's that? Straight into it and had a correction and then went, oh, I don't like that. And then they go to a what is essentially a tray, covered tray, but the dog can smell through it, of a tiger and a dugong.
Oh, wow.
Now, Florence went up to the tiger and got another zap and clearly, you know, she felt it, which is hard to watch. I mean, I'm not talking screaming agony here, but clearly
she reacted to it, you know.
But blimey, that was it.
Never went back.
So we then went on to the dugong, didn't want to know anything about it. And I said to the wonderful lady, are you sure that she's just not recognising the shape of the box? Rather, mm-hmm. And she went, no, it's the smell. We went and sat down, had a bit of a chat, and then took her on another journey to a different part of the school that they were running the workshop at. And yeah, not we didn't have another correction, didn't need another correction.
So is this something that you have to, like say in 6 months' time, take her back for another run through?
They
or is
do,
that is
yes,
that it?
Once a year they recommend, particularly if you're going into high snake areas. Yeah, it was you know, as I said, it was really interesting, and here's hoping it worked. Because, you know, one of my great joys is letting Florence go.
Yeah,
watching the joy in her face as she runs down those hills and the beaches and whatnot down in that part of the world. But, you know, I'm genuinely worried about her being, you know, tagged by a snake. So hopefully that's done.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Ahoy there, mateys!
Mix 94.5 Masters Regatta.
2 weeks and counting, you guys.
Oh, it's almost here, buddy.
It is almost here. The Masters Regatta. Would anybody like to comment on how the boat build is going?
Not that. I mean, I'm glad that your dream is manifesting. You wanted to bring this Perth institution back.
Yeah.
You're doing that.
Yes.
The boat, on the other hand.
I mean, hopefully people will be distracted by the fact there are lots of other competitors. Mm. There are other teams that have been building their boats for a year.
Yes.
They knew about this last year. It had to be cancelled. And so now it's coming back. They're ready to go. And so everyone will be looking at them and not our sinking SS Salcice.
Yes. And we use the word boat lightly. It's a flotation device at best.
Yeah, at best. Yeah.
And I think in really small print it says do not use in water.
Yes, it does.
Adam in Ridgewood is, I'm going to say, the captain of Team Fit Fam, who is one of the teams you were discussing just then, Kimber. And he joins us now. Good morning to you, Adam.
Good morning.
Morning, Skipper.
Oh, Team Fit, Adam, how are you guys going? I mean, you're threatening us already by calling yourselves Team Fit.
I don't know about threatening because, truth be told, we actually haven't started building a boat yet.
Oh, stop God it. God bless you, Team Fit Fam.
Are you serious?
100% serious, but make no mistake, we will have a vessel. And we'll be sinking right next to you guys.
Oh, cool.
So you are not alone.
Now, Adam, why have you not had a boat? You guys have known that you were competing for 12 months.
Yeah, so obviously I was working at a gym when this all started. And due to COVID closing the gyms, I actually ramped up back to my trade. And as you are well aware, and everyone is well aware, tradies at the moment are under the pump. So time is not our friend.
Mm.
So therefore we have not started building a boat, but we have the basics there. We have what we need to build, and it'll be one mad 100-meter sprint towards the end.
I mean, I thought that's why you had an apprentice. Isn't that what they do? Go and build my boat for me.
And
as you know, with an apprentice, you can't always trust their work.
Fair enough, so we
are on water.
Yes.
I mean, this has given me another level of confidence, though. I do think that this is quite funny. And, I mean, you can learn from our mistakes, Adam. Don't use ordinary wood glue.
No,
it doesn't work.
Well, I am a cabinet maker by trade, so I know what I do have the upper hand in that regard. So.
Right. Okay, right. Yeah, okay. We were just stupidly following Pete's instructions, and turns out Pete doesn't know anything about engineering.
Nothing whatsoever. Crazy. I did a marketing degree. Adam, I'm just curious, just while we're on the subject of glue, liquid nails, is that any good for this sort of process?
I reckon you guys need to use cartons of liquid nails so I can just get that little bit further in front of you and just beat you.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so when you're sinking, I'll sink in front of you, but I'll be that little bit far in front.
I think it's really important that I put this out there now. Mm-hmm. If there is an emergency situation, in the unlikely event of an emergency situation, for me personally, women and children first,
right.
Out the window. I will do anything to save myself, okay? Yeah. Just
Matt,
so you know.
Matt will just be climbing onto my back and I'll just be going underwater while he climbs up.
That's it.
Hey, Adam, just quickly, what's your design?
So it still is gym themed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it will be a piece of gym equipment like vessel.
Okay.
Mm. Oh,
okay. And it started as like a cross trainer. It's just slowly making its way back. It's just going to basically be a fit ball.
A fat pack.
Yeah.
You have to wipe it down after the event.
Oh, this is so funny. I'm so looking forward to it, Adam. You guys sound like you're going to be a lot of fun. So it'll be a good day.
It will. Can't wait.
Thanks, mate. There, good on you, Adam. And pass on our best to the rest of the team, mate. Cheers.
To hear Pete, Matt and Kimber for longer, listen to another one of their podcasts. And to swim warmer for longer, get an Elite pool cover. Mix 94.5.